Tam dristva saha sottaya. Deha pranam ivagatam. Prita priyatamam dorbyam. Sasvaje prema vivala. Tam dristva saha sottaya. Deha pranam ivagatam. Prita priyatamam dorbyam. Asvaje prema vivala. Tam dristva sa sottaya. Deha pranam ivagatam. Prita priyatamam dorbyam. Sasvaje prema vivala.
Tam dristva sa sottaya.
Tam dristva sa sottaya.
Deha pranam ivagatam.
Deha pranam ivagatam.
Prita priyatamam dorbyam.
Prita priyatamam dorbyam.
Sasvaje prema vivala.
Tam dristva saha sottaya.
Tam dristva saha sottaya.
Deha pranam ivagatam.
Deha pranam ivagatam.
Prita priyatamam dorbhyam.
Prita priyatamam dorbhyam.
Sasvaje prema vivala.
Sasvaje prema vivala.
Tam dristva saha sottaya.
Tam dristva saha sottaya.
Deha pranam ivagatam.
Deha
Prita priyatamam darbhyam.
Prita priyatamam darbhyam.
Sasvaje prema vivalah.
Sasvaje prema vivalah.
Mataji. Tam, him, Vasudeva, drishtva, seen, sahasa, suddenly, uttaya, getting up, deha, the same body, pranam, life, iva, as if, Agatam, had returned. Prita, so pleased. Priyatamam, his dear friend and brother. Dorbyam, by his two arms. Sasvaje, embraced. Premavivala, overwhelmed with love and affection. Translation. When Nanda Maharaj heard that Vasudeva had come, he was overwhelmed with love and affection, being as pleased as if his body had regained its life. Seeing Vasudeva suddenly present, he got up and embraced him with both arms. Please repeat. When Nanda Maharaj heard that Vasudeva had come, he was overwhelmed with love and affection. Being as pleased as if his body had regained its life. Seeing Vasudeva suddenly present,
he got up
and embraced him with both arms. This very short purport was written by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nanda Maharaj was older than Vasudeva, Therefore, Nanda Maharaj embraced him and Vasudeva offered him namaskar. Since this purport seems a little too short, then we should continue our reading for other two verses. Since the 23rd verse we find a little longer purport by Srila Prabhupada. I just read myself. Pujita sukham asina prishtvana maya madrita prasakta disvatma jayor idam aha visampate. O Maharaj Parikshit, having thus been received and welcomed by Nanda Maharaj with honor, Vasudeva sat down very peacefully and inquired about his own two sons because of intense love for them. 23. Dishtya Bharata Prasvasaya Idanim Aprachasyate Prajashaya Nivrittasya Rajayat Samapatyate. My dear brother Nanda Maharaj, at an advanced age you were no son at all. You were hopeless to everyone. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. At an advanced age, one generally cannot beget a male child. If by chance one does beget a child at this age, the child is generally female. Thus Vasudeva indirectly asked Nanda Maharaj whether he had actually begotten a male child or a female child. Vasudeva knew that Yashoda had given birth to a female child, whom he had stolen and replaced with a male child. This was a great mystery, and Vasudeva wanted to determine whether this mystery was already known to Nanda Maharaj. On inquiring, however, he was confident that the mystery of Krishna's birth and his being placed in the care of Yashoda was still hidden. There was no danger, since Kamsa, at least, could not learn what had already happened. Tandrishtvasa sottaya deha pranam ivagatam prita priyatamam dorbyam sasvaje premavivala pujita sukamasina prishtva namayam adrita prasakta disvatma jayor idam aha vishampate. Dishtya bharata pravasyasa idanim aprajasyate prajasaya nivrittasya prajayat samapadyata. When Nanda Maharaj heard that Vasudeva had come, he was overwhelmed with love and affection, being as pleased as if his body had regained its life. Seeing Vasudeva suddenly present, he got up and embraced him with both arms. O Maharaj Parikshit, having thus been received and welcomed by Nanda Maharaj with honor, Vasudeva sat down very peacefully and inquired about his own two sons because of intense love for them. My dear brother Nanda Maharaj, at an advanced age you had no son at all and were hopeless of having one. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune. Om Jnana Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militandiena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitanyena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayan Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha হে কৃষ্ণ করুণা সিন্ধু দীনবন্ধু জগৎপতে গোপেশ গোপিকান্ত রাধাকান্ত নমোস্তুতে তপ্ত কাঞ্চন গৌরাঙ্গী রাধে বৃন্দাবনেশ্বরী বৃষভানুসুত দেবী প্রণমামি হরি প্রিয়ে বঞ্চকল্পতরুভ্যশ্চ কৃপাসিন্ধুভ্যঃ চ পতিতানাম পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমঃ জয় শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীবাস আদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে হরে ইন দিস থ্রি ভার্সেস উই আর ট্রান্সপোর্টেড ইন সেকেন্ডস ইন অ্যানাদার ডাইমেনশন which is the transcendental dimension. The transcendental dimension is not so different from the material dimension, if not by the inherent quality of the energy composing this world. That the spiritual world is spiritual, the material world is material. Everything comes from the same source. So actually there is no difference between the two. But just like if you connect a stove to electricity, you have heat. And if you connect a fridge, you have cold. That means two opposite things. But at the same time, the electricity is the same. So we can conclude that by some particular arrangement from the same source can come two different things depending from the necessity, depending from what the origin of these worlds want to accomplish. The spiritual world is a world of love, and we can see from these verses how Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva met and the way they related one with the other. It was not rare, it was not just because Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva are two, we should say are, they are still existing, still living. They are two different, they are two transcendental personalities. That was normal. During Vedic time, it was perfectly normal that when two persons, two civilized persons, they meet, they treat each other in this way. Not in the same way, because we can see that Srila Prabhupada wrote a very short purport to the verse 21, where he says, where he understressed that Nanda Maharaj was older than Vasudeva. What does it mean? Why Srila Prabhupada felt the need to tell us that Nanda Maharaj was older? The need is there because there are etiquettes. Etiquettes are very important. Sometimes I hear devotees or friends, you know, seeing so much etiquette between the devotees, different way of treating different devotees, and they say, "Well, etiquette is external. It's not really, it's important, but not so much." I tend to disagree, and we should all disagree, because these formalities, these forms, actually are the form of the substance. If there is substance, then there is the form. But a form without substance, there are only in the material world. If a devotee is substantially advanced, he understands the basic principles of Vedic civilization, of Vaishnava civilization, then he acts accordingly. We cannot think, yes, we are Vaishnava, but we don't act as a Vaishnava, because that is external. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. If we are Vaishnavas, we should act as Vaishnavas. And there are different types of Vaishnavas, and sometimes the differences are of secondary importance, and sometimes of primary importance, but they are all important. It doesn't matter. For instance, Srila Prabhupada told us to respect elderly people, means physically elderly people. We should honor our father, we should honor our mother, calling them by titles and giving them all kinds of respect. And this is very important. We should not think that because we are transcendentalists, we can behave like uncivilized person materially. It's not that the spirit soul, it is the spirit world, is the opposite of the material world. That since because we are spiritualists, we don't have to honor our mother and father and elderly people. That is not what it should be. Actually, Srila Prabhupada told once to one of his disciples, that I think it was Brahmananda, someone, that he should give obeisances to his mother, his father. They were not devotees, you know, and seeing he saw his son bowing down and touching with the forehead the pavement, doesn't really look it looks embarrassing, actually. But Srila Prabhupada said that you should honor your mother and father because they gave you the body, the same body that now you are utilizing for devotional service. If it were not for them, then you could not be here now serving Guru and Krishna. So in this way, we have to learn etiquettes. We should know how to respect elderly, physically elderly people, and spiritually elderly people. If there is an older devotee, you should honor them and be the first to pay obeisances. Not that you meet and you expect the other one to pay obeisances first. And then sannyasis and gurus and Prabhupada disciples and temple president and GBC and sannyasi. We have so many elderly people, and we should learn how to behave with each of them. If we, for arrogance or for any type of materialistic reason, we don't behave properly, then it's just a question of time, and reaction will come, will be unavoidable. That reaction will come, because etiquette was enforced. We find etiquettes in the Shastra, and we should follow them. Nanda Maharaj was older than Vasudeva. So Nanda Maharaj embraced Vasudeva. You should not embrace an older person, because you should respect him. It's not that you see a sannyasi, a guru, or somebody, and you go there, oh, Haribo, no, you embrace him. That's, you know. The older person should choose the way he wants to behave with the younger person. In this case, Nanda Maharaj wanted to embrace Vasudeva. Why? Oh, because although Nanda Maharaj was older, their relationship was very close from very, very long time. And also, they had some kind of link between them, because Nanda Maharaj was the stepfather of Vasudeva's son. Vasudeva begat Sri Krishna. We know the story. I'm not going to tell you the story. So Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, they had some kind of. So the whole spiritual world is impregnated with this type of relationships between Krishna and devotees, devotees and devotees, and it is very beautiful to see the way everybody relates with other people. It's so much loving, it's so transcendentally and spiritually noble, the way they act. Look the materialistic people, how rude they are. Sometimes we see devotees also being rude one with the other. We should avoid that, absolutely. You see how Krishna is loving. And love is something that always creates or manifests an atmosphere where everybody wants to live. I was reading the other day of the loving relationships between Krishna and one of his devotees who appeared in the year 1082, something like that, which is Jayadeva Goswami. Who doesn't know the story of Jayadeva Goswami? Jayadeva Goswami is the author of a very important book, the Gita Govinda. Everybody knows the Gita Govinda. And Gita Govinda is a wonderful book. It's too wonderful. Very intimate. And incredible pastimes, Radha Krishna pastimes, are told in this book. And the particularity of this book is that it was not written by realization or by understanding or by interpreting the mood of past acharyas, but it was written in a very particular way of watching physically with his eyes. He was watching the activities and putting them into writing. While he was watching with transcendental eyes, thank you, Balu, with his transcendental, purified eyes, those particular lilas. So can you imagine, you know, Jayadeva Goswami sitting down? At the time there was some criticism of Jayadeva Goswami because he was a sannyasi, and the deity of Jagannath in Jagannath Puri told him to marry. So not everybody accepted the idea that actually this lady that was Jagannath's daughter. So people were kind of, but Jayadeva Goswami was very, very advanced. He was a pure devotee. He was writing and watching. One day he was watching Radha and Krishna playing, and Krishna did one of his many mischiefs. You know, Krishna sometimes, you know, does things that makes Radha and all the gopis get angry. Not sometimes, often. Because he likes that the gopis get angry. This psychology is not difficult to understand. For instance, if you have a person who you very much love, like a son, like a child, you really love to fight with your son. I remember my son when he was small. Now I cannot fight because he's bigger than me. But when he was a small child, I loved wrestling with him. It was just, you know, was very tasteful. So, but he won't fight with me because I was bigger. So I was kind of making him angry, you know, very upset with me. And then he would say, "Oh, Peter, don't do this, otherwise I beat you up." And I would continue, no? In this way, he would get very angry, jump on me, and started to slap me, and trying to win. And sometimes I would let him win, because if I always won, then he would not play with me anymore. So I would let him win. Sometimes I would fall down and say, "Oh my God, you are so strong." So this psychology can be understood. It's a reflection from the spiritual world. Like Krishna, although he's the all-powerful personality of God, he has got all powers. Nobody can beat Krishna. But you find that sometimes even the gopas playing in Vrindavan, they beat Krishna. They win over Krishna. So to have loving relationships. So in this way, Krishna was making the gopis angry and are very upset with him. And Radharani at that time, Srimati Radharani got very, very, very angry and said, "I will not look at you anymore. You are done with me. I will go away. You'll never see me again." And so Krishna understood he did it too big, you know, this time. It was too much. So he started to pray. Srimati Radharani, and tell her, please Radha, don't leave me, I cannot live with you, you know. And Krishna was bowing down, he was clutching his lotus feet like this and crying, please Radha, don't leave me, don't leave me. And while Jayadeva Goswami was watching this pastime and shedding tears to see how much Krishna loved Srimati Radharani, he was crying and watching and writing, crying and watching and writing like this. And the pages of the book, the Gita Govinda, was getting soaked by his tears. So he was writing, Sri Radha, don't leave me, I am your humble servant, I worship your lotus feet, like this. So Jayadeva wrote everything, and at the end he said, no, I cannot write this, because he was a Krishna's devotee. He was Krishna's devotee. He was not a devotee of Radha, he was a devotee of Krishna. So for him, Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, while for Radha, devotee, Radharani is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can see that in India, you know. I remember once during Radhakunda Prakat is the day of appearance of Sri Radhakunda. You cannot imagine how, because when there are big festivals in Vrindavan, is quite big, it's got the bigger, some kind of big avenue at least. So if 100,000 people come, you can walk around a little bit. But in Radhakunda, it's no avenue, no? It's a small place. And Radhakunda Prakat, you can't imagine, of course, whoever has been there can know. That day, if you lose your, I was there with my wife, and, you know, if I lost her, then I would not find her anymore. It was dark, because at midnight, Radhakunda appears at midnight, 12 o'clock in the night. So we were keeping one with the other one, and there were thousands and thousands of people, and everyone was chanting Radhe, 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 everyone was. And there was one man seeing me, he knew me, he said, Radhakunda. He said, oh, Krishna's devotees are here. You know, what are you doing here? This is Radha's lake. It's not Krishna's lake. And he said, you cannot get the mercy of Krishna if you don't worship Radha. And I told him, we are smarter than you, because we worship Krishna, because without Krishna's mercy you cannot get Radha's mercy. So he blushed and he said, oh, you tricked me, you cheated me this time. So Jayadeva Goswami said, no, I cannot write this. And he left the book and he went for his ablutions in the river. And at that time, Krishna understood that Jayadeva Goswami was not writing that particular pastimes, a conversation he had with Srimati Radharani. And actually, he wanted Jayadeva to write it. So he transformed himself in a perfect second Jayadeva Goswami. He looked just like him, with no difference whatsoever. He entered into his house, where Jayadeva Goswami's wife was there. Jayadeva Goswami's wife's name was Padmavati. And he sat down and wrote the verse. Oh Radhe, please don't leave me. I love you so much. I am your devotee. I worship your lotus feet. I bow down to you. I will make like this service to you eternally. He wrote the verse. So when Jayadeva Goswami came back and he sat down and he saw the verse written in the book that he had not written. He had not written. He was beginning to write, but he had not written. Then he said, my dear wife, what happened while I was away? And Padmavati said, "Well, actually, I was wondering how you could have come back so quick, because you just went out. Just 1 minute ago, you went out and you are coming back again." Then Jayadeva understood what happened with his transcendental intelligence and vision. He could see that Krishna himself, in person, had come to show how loving and real are the relationships in the spiritual world. And love is superior to Krishna himself, because he himself is subservient. Subservient to love. Love is personified in Radharani. That's in the spiritual world. There are everything is personified. It's not like in the material world. Our speech power is just an energy. It's an impersonal energy. It comes from a person, but the energy itself is impersonal. But in the spiritual world, it's not like this. Every energy, every capacity, anything that Krishna does or thinks or feels becomes a person. So his love, the way he reacts with his devotees, he becomes a person. That's why Srimati Radharani is the most wonderful personality in the creation, because it's the best part of Krishna, the most essential, the best of all of his qualities and his personality. That becomes Radharani. It's the personification of the best part of Krishna's heart. So Jayadeva said to Padmavati, "You are very lucky, you have seen Krishna. And now my book is blessed." And it is. So much so that Gita Govinda was one of the books, probably the most important book, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear in Jagannath Puri, in the second part of his life, because Gita Govinda is spotless, it's very deep. But unless we are pure devotees, we should not read it. Because first time you read it, you say, "Oh, this is wonderful, Radha and Krishna and the gopis, that's very nice." The second time you say, "Well, you know, what are they doing? And the third time you read it, he says, "I don't understand why Krishna wants me to give up all pleasure, and he is enjoying so much in this globe." It's just not, it just comes, envy. Envy, which is the main reason why we came and we stay in the material world. We can become envious of Krishna very easily, because we already, one time, we became envious of Krishna. So not to become envious of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, in his unique genius, he wrote his books, and especially the most particular books, like the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in a very philosophical way. You find, like in the chapter where he talks about the dance, the rasa dance, you find a paragraph or the pastime, and then, you know, half a page of philosophy. That's really how sober and intelligent Srila Prabhupada was. He was not just a master. He was a master who had more, he was more preoccupied with his disciples' spiritual well-being than to show how Rasika he was, how advanced he was, that he can speak about Radha Krishna Leela in a very sweet way. That a real acharya does not do that. A real acharya is very careful to what he says for his disciples' well-being. Why we should say something that nobody can understand? What is the point? The acharya is not somebody who closes his eyes and speaks. The Acharya opens his eyes to see who he has in front, and according to the public he speaks out. And this is Srila Prabhupada's unique genius. And we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, among so many other things, about having translated and explained the Shastra is the most perfect way for us. So I conclude saying that I wanted in this to comment the relationship in the spiritual world, because in these three verses it is described the nice relationship that Nanda Maharaj has with Vasudeva. So I wanted to say something about this. Now we have some 10 minutes for questions. I hope there are questions. Mataji and Prabhu.
Thank you very much for a very nice class and explanation of attitudes and Krishna's intimate pastimes. My question is, most of the time we are ready to follow the etiquettes, as long as those following does not hinder our sense gratification or like our comfort of our life. But when it comes to like putting ourselves in discomfort, and then it becomes very difficult to follow those etiquettes. So
yes.
how we can improve on that?
Yeah, it's a very common thing that everything is very easy, that we follow when everything is okay, when everything is all right. But effort is part of the spiritual life. Just like if you love a person, then the person expects you to do something for her when you like it or when you don't like it. And actually, your love is shown more when you don't like it. Why? Because you make an effort. It is a proof of love. You cannot say, I love you so much, but you know, now I got to go and do my own things, and I love you so much, but there is no but in love. Love is without haituki apartihata, which means without condition and without interruption. Of course, this is a very high stage of love, but we should hear about the perfection, although we may not be able yet to apply it. Because if we don't know where we are to get to, then we'll never get to. So even if we are not able to do it, at least if we know it, then one day, then we aim. And maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not in the next 10 years, or maybe not in this life, but we know it. Again, there are some devotees who say, why? We should not be so heavy in our preaching, you know? We should not. And again, I think we should, there should be different devotees who preach in different ways, but there should be somebody who keeps the point without changing it. The highest standard. Somebody. Because otherwise, we end up like the Christian church. You know, modifying for the people, you know, because the people cannot understand, and they, you know, and at the end, nobody knows what is the original, because nobody took care in preserving it. So the preachers, the oldest preachers, they should be very careful to maintain the intact, the form of preaching, the way of presenting, and the personal example, the Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, in 50 years, everything will be gone. That does not mean that there should not be different stages or degrees, but somebody should keep the maximum in his way of preaching. So you should endeavor, you should make an effort. And in difficult situations, there is the test. And if you don't succeed, then you'll find yourself again in the same situation. Because you cannot just not make an effort. Is important, it's part of all. We should keep this in mind.
Manasu, thank you for a nice class. I was listening as I was speaking. My question has to do, I was intrigued by the description that you were giving about Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, and Vasudev trying to see if Nanda Maharaj was aware that Krishna was not born to him. And then what was coming to my mind is that the commentary of Śrīla Jīva Goswāmī and previous acharyas about how Krishna and Subhadra or Duryodhana, they were born simultaneously as twins to Yashoda. And then when the Yajnakumara Krishna was brought by Vasudeva, he entered into the form of the original Krishna, Nandananda. So it seemed from what you're reading that none of them were aware of that. And also what was crossed my mind was that Vasudev was very concerned.
Vasudev was very concerned about understanding whether Nanda Maharaj was aware that Krishna was his child. And Nanda Maharaj seems to be not concerned with that at all. So I was wondering if you had any insight into that.
Yeah, you are bringing up an important point. It's 8:37. Let's spend some time on this. The story of Krishna's appearance in this world is told by the Sikhs Goswami, especially Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. They say a certain story, but this story is not told to us by Srila Prabhupada, and that's why I had that in mind. I wanted to tell the story, but since Srila Prabhupada does not mention this story, then usually I don't tell the story. But the Sikh Goswamis tells a very particular stories. I think Rupa Goswami telling the story. The story is that we all know that Krishna appeared in Mathura in four arms, not two arms, four arms, and that is a Vasudeva. That is a called Vasudeva, the form of Vasudeva. At the same time, Mother Yashoda gave birth to twins, a female and a male. The female was Yogamaya, and the male was Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. While the Krishna in Mathura was an expansion Krishna, expansion of Vishnu, actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original one, took birth in Gokula. Everyone who has been to India knows where the places are. Basically, Gokula is in front of Mathura, little move, but you have to cross the Yamuna. It's on the other side of the Yamuna. So it was dark, and Mother Yashoda just gave birth to the female, to Yogamaya, and everybody thought that was it. But actually, Mother Yashoda had another child in the womb, and she gave birth to this child without anyone being present. This is important. Nobody was present when Krishna came out. So it was dark. And when Vasudeva arrived in Gokulam, having his child, his Krishna, Krishna Vasudeva, didn't see the Krishna, Yashoda Nandana, Vrajendra Nandana, the Vrindavan Krishna. He didn't see him. He saw only the female. So he put his Vasudeva Krishna on the bed, on the side, on the Yashoda's side, was asleep at that time, and he took the female, the Yogamaya, and we know the story how Vasudeva brought Yogamaya in Mathura in the jail, and etc. etc. How Yogamaya threatened and advised Kamsa that his killer is already born somewhere else. So now what's happening in the meantime? That we have two Krishnas in Gokula. We have Krishna Vasudeva, we have Krishna Vrajanandana. So the two Krishna merged in one personality. And the Vasudeva Krishna is the Vasudeva, is the Krishna who kills the demons. Krishna does not kill demons. Never. Krishna just plays with the gopas and the gopis and enjoys his pastime in Vrindavan. Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, do not kill demons. And when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, do you think that Krishna left Vrindavan? Krishna never puts a lotus feet out of Vrindavan, nor for 1 second. It's impossible. So who went from Vrindavan to Mathura? That's the Vasudeva Krishna, the Vasudeva born from Devaki in Mathura. That is the Krishna. And that is the same Krishna who went to Dvaraka after. But the original Vrindavan Krishna never left Vrindavan, although the devotees could not see him. And we know the reason. Because of desire to taste Vipralamba, that you don't taste in the spiritual world. So all this story was not clear to Nanda or to Vasudeva. They knew that Vasudeva Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, was there. And they thought that the Krishna was just the Vasudeva's son. So, and this truth could not be known to the public. Because if Kamsa was chasing his killer and knew that Krishna was his killer, so they had to conceal that Devaki and Vasudeva's son was the Krishna who was staying with Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan at that time. They wanted to protect Krishna. So because Vasudeva knew the story, because he was the one who brought Krishna in there, and Nanda Maharaj was not present, Vasudeva wasn't sure if Nanda Maharaj knew or not. But he wasn't very worried, because at that time everything was clear. But actually, although Vasudeva was asking himself if Nanda Maharaj knew that he exchanged his daughter with his son, actually, nor Vasudeva or Nanda Maharaj knew what actually happened. Only very few people like Narada Muni and others knew what actually happened. So this is the story that Rupa and Jiva Goswami tells about Krishna's appearance. But Srila Prabhupada do not mention this story. So we as faithful disciples try to tell only what Prabhupada. It's not that Srila Prabhupada told us that we cannot speak about what other acharyas say. Of course we can. You know. But we have some kind of shyness when it comes to such an important story that your spiritual master never spoke about.
Maharaj, I read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually it's in the section of Rupa Goswami being instructed by Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya, he comments, you might recall this story, Rupa Goswami wanted to write a play describing Krishna's pastimes. Oh, thank you.
Rupa Goswami wanted to write a play describing Krishna's pastimes. And then he was traveling from Navadvipa, or from
where he was located. This is a little bit from where he was located to Vrindavan, and he stayed. Well, from Jagannath to Vrindavan, and he stayed in a town known as Satyabhamapur. And then she appeared to him and told him to write two dramas, because he was going to write one drama describing all of Krishna's leelas. And she said, no, write two dramas, Krishna's leela in Vrindavan, and then Krishna's leela in Dwarka, and I will bless the play that describes our pastimes in Dwarka. And so then, when he went to Vrindavan and met Lord Chaitanya confirmed it and said that do not try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. He does not take one step out of Vrindavan. And their prophet comments about the Nanda Kumar Krishna of Vrindavan and then the Yadunanda Krishna of Dwarka.
Yes.
And he gives in reference to this.
Yes, yes. In Dwarka, the pastimes in Dwarka are wonderful, less sweet than in Vrindavan, though. You know who Satyabhama is? Satyabhama is Radharani. It's the Lakshmi aspect of Radharani. And you know who Rukmini is? At Chandravali. So the difference is in sweetness. Dwaraka is in the spiritual world also. It's not that. But there are pastimes in Vrindavan that if you read them, you understand it very easily. Why it's so sweet? Because the sweetness of young age, of being cowboys, cowgirls, you know, like this, the whole set of the forest and everything, and the type of relationships they had, there is nothing sweeter than Vrindavan Lilas. And in this particular incarnation, Krishna wanted to taste something that he never tasted before. That is this Vipralamba taste, which is a separation. So that's why he concealed himself. And this is very, also, is very human. You can understand from the human psychology, the divine psychology, the psychology of the Supreme Personality of God. If you love a person, you love it, and this is very nice. But when you separate, you know, then the love is felt even more because of separation. And when you reunite again, oh, that's the best. That's absolutely, it's a nuclear explosion of taste. So, Radha and Krishna separating for so long, and they're reuniting again, and this Radha and Krishna together, they become a deity. Who this is?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
No, it's Jagannath, Swami. Lord Jagannath. Jagannath is the ecstasy of Krishna when he sees Radharani again after a long, long time. And his arms melt down and his eyes become so big and he cannot maintain his form. So he becomes like this stunned, like you can see that Sri Jagannath Swami is like stunned like this, you know. He doesn't have eyelids. What's the name of this? Eyelids. Why? Immediately, the first thing he does, he takes out his eyelids. Why? Because they, I don't say that.
Blink.
They blink. They blink. At that second, he cannot see Radharani. So he said, oh, this is such a stupid thing, this eyelids. Why they exist? You know? And so that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays in Jagannath Puri. Because Lord Jagannath Swami is the deity of Krishna meeting again Srimati Radharani in Kurukshetra. That's the reason why Lord Chaitanya, because it matches perfectly his internal sentiment. He feels Radha and Krishna together, Radha and Krishna separating, and meeting again I mean, there is no better deity for this than Lord Jagannath. So yes, Rupa Goswami wrote the Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava, two different poetries telling different stories, and they are wonderful books. Anyone who hasn't read it, please do that, but do only if you have read all Prabhupada books first. First you read all Srila Prabhupada books. When you finish, then read Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. If you follow all regular principles and chant 16 rounds and Canto Mongolartic, etc., otherwise forget it. Start again. Prabhupada books starting from Bhagavad Gita. Okay, last question and then we have to close. No question. Okay.
In this thought, one of the devotees was telling me that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he desired to perform his final pastimes at Kurukshetra. And when the discussion was brought up between him and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was mentioning that because at Kurukshetra, Radharani is in the most helpless and difficult situation. Because it's there she leaves Vrindavan and she goes to meet Krishna. And he was saying that Kurukshetra actually is where the devotees perform the most intense worship of Srimati Radharani. Because it's in that condition that she is the most helpless and coming for Krishna's mercy.
Oh, there is a very wonderful verse that I knew among the many I knew that I don't even remember my name, you know, my old age is coming so fast. The verse is Priyasoyan Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Militas Tataham Sarada Taridam Ubayo Sangamasukam Tatyapyan Takelan Madura Murali Sangama Jusham Sangama. Coming together, and oh my God, the fourth verse is just out of my mind. Anyway, this verse has been spoken by Srimati Radharani, meeting Krishna. The second, he sees Krishna, and he is with some gopis, and he says, "Oh, look, my old friend, Priyaso Yang Krishna, Krishna Sahachari, Kurukshetra Militas." And see him again in this field of Kurukshetra. And this is very sweet. And she said, this is very, very sweet. And I like to see him again. But you see how relationships, how it varies, relationship in the spiritual world. But although I'm very happy to see Krishna again, I would like to go back in Vrindavan with him again. Now I see him. Panchamajusham means the fifth note or the flute. He liked to play in the scale or the fifth note. They play the flute. So she says, I would like to go back in the bank of the Yamuna and hearing Krishna. This is very personal. This is why these stories are there in Shastras, to tell us that Krishna is a person, and all of us are persons. So many personal activities, so many sentiments, so many things that relate directly to persons. And in the spiritual world, we see the best of persons. The best a person can be, the best a person can talk, the best a person can manifest in self, etc., can relate with the other, the best is in the spiritual world. And all these stories are told by the Goswami to tell us that Krishna is a person, and all of us are eternally person, and he's telling these stories to give us some taste that being a person is not like the Mayavadi. The Mayavadi, they are scared about being persons because they suffer in the material world as persons. So they project the way they live in their personality in the spiritual world. And they say, if I had to be a person eternally and suffer like I can suffer here, I prefer not to be a person. Oh please, you know, I'm already suffering so much here. I don't want to suffer forever. So that's why Krishna is telling us, no, don't worry. You are not going to suffer. Look what happens in the spiritual world. It's so sweet. It's full of happiness. It's full of taste. Always variegated. It's not always the same. It's always new. So this is the reason why Krishna comes in this material world to give happiness to the devotees in such a way that they taste talking about one with the other about Krishna's pastimes, then we wish to go in their world because it's so beautiful, it's so tasteful, it's so positive. If we didn't have these pastimes, maybe some of us would say, well, you know, here it might be temporary, but at least I got something, you know. I got a relationship with friend and like the family members, etc. What do I have in this spiritual world? There's nothing going on there. I prefer to stay and die and everything is finished. But then, hearing all these pastimes, we cannot but strongly and intensely desire to go there and stay there eternally. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.